Welcome back to Truth Be Told. We are continuing our discussion with Mr. Shivanandan. And sir, we come to the most important part of the interview, which is 2611. Sir, the first question I wanted to ask you was, 2611, the information was there with the intelligence. Information was there with the DG police. Information was also probably there with the CP Mumbai. Why was no action taken? Why wasn't this prevented?
You must refer to the RD Pradhan, V. Balachandran report about why it was not done or how it was not done and all that. And I must also say that there has been intelligence about various things happened after 2611 also. Intelligence about Pathankot or Uri or Nagrota, various other, Pakistan is doing this, is very well known, and they can attack and all. Repeatedly those incidents are taking place in the border also. So in the same way here, I would say the bits and pieces of information came at different dates and they were not put together to make one picture. And also action taken by the regime at that time was in bits and pieces. And when this information came, as these two journalists have written, the American journalists have written a book, or Mr. Balachandran's, Mr. R.D. Pradhan's report, these were not specific to the date and time and the place. Hotels, if they are mentioned, there are 10, 12 of them, and the date is not known. They would come through the sea route is known, but then the eternal vigilance and committing police force for such a long time to prevent is just not possible. But I want to say that anti-terrorism chief, this intelligence percolated, and the anti-terrorism chief called all the hotels and conducted a meeting and gave detailed guidelines as to how and all it should be done. And it was implemented also. But over a long period of time when nothing happened, being hospitality industry, one after the other, small alterations took place. And when the catastrophe struck, what happened is known history now.
Sir, which means, are we saying, had a little more caution been taken, had the intelligence being knitted properly, being put up properly, do you think that this would have been avoided?
That is where the analysis of various people, the Home Minister holding meetings weekly, and the Home Department analyzing all that has been reported by the RD Pradhan, suggested by the RD Pradhan committee, and that they are being implemented now. But the point is, earlier when this intelligence came, it is a fact that the Commissioner of Police and the Home Department and the DG did not have meetings about it and putting the whole through and drawing a picture and bringing up. That wasn't happening, but it is happening now.
So which means, sir, there was a flaw?
Flaw is there everywhere. Wherever things have gone wrong, flaw was always there.
Sir,
I'm telling you again, if you are analyzing only 2611 because I was part of this system, what happened to Pathankot? What happened to Uri? What happened to various other things? They are all much later. So that way, this intelligence, a generic kind of intelligence is there. I can tell you that Pakistan can do a very spectacular attack anywhere in this country at an appropriate time. What will you do? And as Commissioner of Police, I've also faced, from the air there can be attack, from the water there can be attack, from the road there can be attack. So much of trains are bringing people, so many trucks are bringing people, so many ships are bringing cargo. Where do I thinly spread my force?
Sir,
intelligence, again, cannot be specific. It will be indicating that, yes, Pakistan is thinking of an attack like this, and it can happen. And then the wherewithal, the police force, cannot be multiplied like that. Force multiplier is not there.
Sir, which technically means, are we saying that India today is not equipped enough to handle an attack like this?
Come on, Sujit, listen. Why tell about India? What happened in Copenhagen? What happened in Paris? What happened in Denmark? What happened all over the Europe? Intelligence is there. And the militancy is there, advanced intelligence is there, Brussels and here, there, everywhere it is happening. I am saying when determined groups of militants are wanting to attack, any amount of preparedness in self-defense may not be adequate. The whole Western Europe today or various other countries are facing the same problem, which we are facing. Our problem is the magnitude, the size of the country, the population, the people who can merge, people who can help them, or the Samundar, which is 7,600 kilometers with so many ports and minor ports and other places. So anything can happen in this country, and fortifying a country like this is just, even today, LOC, people are crossing there, coming there, beheading our Jawan and going away. So that way you can't say intelligence is not there, preparedness is not there. Yes, it is all there, preparedness is there, incidents are happening. I would like to say Mumbai or the country during that government and this government have taken tremendous steps to see that the response of the police forces would be much better. Yes, this kind of response, which I can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, which I will tell you now, was not there earlier, is known to you, known to everybody. For example, that many bulletproof boats which were supplied by the Union Home Minister was not there. Then radar systems by the Coast Guard all over the area was not there. Coast Guard was not given the responsibility of this thing. And the Navy and the Coast Guard, they did not intercept all these guys when they came. They said actionable intelligence was not there. The Navy chief said that. And then aerial supervision was not there. And the police force and others were not equipped. NSG took 26 hours to come from Delhi to this place. We have an NSG here. We have a force one here. And we have NSG in Hyderabad and Guwahati and all other places. All these preparatory arrangements came after 26/11 is very well known to you.
Right.
These things should have been done earlier. If that is what you want to say, then who? Government of India should have done, or Government of Maharashtra should have done? Why not?
Government should have done. For me, it is officer's life.
This
it is
same,
people's life.
Same government which has done now is responsible for not doing it before.
Coming back, I remember we had a press conference. If you remember, we had a press conference in Mantralaya where we announced, you know, where you all had that. You and I remember then the ACS had worked day in and day out to get those amphibian vehicles bulletproof vehicles,
yes,
and those armored,
yes,
vehicles and,
yes,
all of that. Sir, what is happening to those armored vehicles and bulletproof vehicles and those amphibians? Sir, those amphibian vehicles are rotting.
Yes,
are rotting there.
Yes, I agree
and
with you.
They are supposed to be protecting Mumbai today.
I agree with you. They are protecting, but today it is 9 years, 2008 November to now is how many years? So all these vehicles deteriorate and go away. Those bulletproof vehicles which are bought by 40 vehicles which are bought by us is protecting all the cricketers and cricket games and all these people. They are going up and down. But these amphibian vehicles and various other things, for lack of deployment or because of the sea weather and the salty sea wind, they are rotting. They should be replaced. Please realize a bulletproof jacket is alive only for 5 years. What I got was 9 years before. It is dead. They are being used now.
Those bulletproof jackets were never even given out to people, sir.
No, the ones I got was got as a gift from the builders
association. For which you were criticized also.
I would love to be criticized for my positive action.
Correct.
Whenever you take positive action, Sujit, criticism is bound to
correct.
Be there.
Correct.
But the point is, other bulletproof jackets have not been purchased.
My precise
even
question.
Today, but that is the government's job.
Sir, we lost 18
my
officers.
No, I am coming back to you saying that I did not want my men to die like that.
Correct.
18 officers because of duty, commitment to duty and the loyalty. And the response was like that. They went there and lost their lives. I do not want one man to die. So immediately, the first thing I did was to get the bulletproof jackets.
Correct.
And then purchased all these vehicles.
Correct.
I'm coming back to your question. Those amphibian vehicles or other ones have died a natural death. Please replace them. It is for this government, the present government, to say that all of them are scrapped, buy new ones and keep them there.
Which means we established two facts.
Yeah.
One fact is 18 officers died.
Yeah.
Until date, we don't have enough bulletproof jackets. The bulletproof jacket was that was bought by you. You are well aware that was there. Those were not deployed onto the force they were kept at one.
No. I bought them after the 26/11 incident.
Yeah.
But they are deployed now. They are deployed now. In the sense, all of them are wearing it now. Your force one is wearing it. All of them are wearing it. But my point is, it has a limited life.
That means the new jackets have not come.
Sir, they have not bought them en masse. But they have been borrowing from CRPF or something like that.
Sir,
a few thousand things they may be borrowing from them.
Amphibian vehicles are rotting.
See, there are, again, I'm telling you.
No, I'll just complete my question.
Listen. Everything has a life. I have a life.
I agree.
Please. But I'm saying,
which means
this government or this police chief should write to say that these vehicles have to be scrapped. Because if you park the amphibian vehicles on the sea beach, like Chowpatty and all, because of the salty wind and sea wind and things like that, they are going to rot. And they are, even if they are used, if they go into the water and come back and they are being used, your bulletproof vehicles are, the boats are being used, but they have to be replaced, they have to be upgraded, they have to be painted, maintained. Please, I am not taking this criticism that these vehicles have become rotten because they have a shelf life.
I am not even criticizing. You are right. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
What I am saying is, there was a 2611. Okay. After the 2611, what happened was, immediately as a reaction to 2611, we went out, we all purchased the whole hog, armored vehicle,
I was involved in that.
And you were actually taking the lead in that. Everything was done. Everything was ready. You went out, you took a sponsorship from builders, got bulletproof jackets. Okay, those were deployed. You are saying, I believe it is not, but when you are finally
deployed,
your word is the final word. Of course, my knowledge is limited. Sir, today everything is over.
No, nothing is over.
No,
nothing
because
is
it's
over.
All,
no,
it's
no,
a,
no, no,
you're
no,
right.
No.
It's all rotten.
It is not rotten. It is not rotten. They may be not serviceable amphibian vehicles alone. But these 40 bulletproof vehicles we bought, the Mahindra vehicles, they are in ship-shape condition.
Sir, they are...
They are the best part of the purchase. They are running all over the city. And also, the control room which we upgraded has been further upgraded. And then various other communication facilities which we have created have become upgraded. What has become an eyesore today may be the amphibian vehicle. But if the commissioner or if the DG wants, they should simply remove it, scrap it, sell it and buy new ones. That's it.
Sir, we still don't have enough bulletproof jackets.
Maybe true, but that you have to ask the present person.
No,
maybe
not,
true,
I'm,
but
I'm
it
not,
can
I'm,
be easily purchased.
I'm not
it's not
you.
That it cannot be purchased.
Which means, sir, if because we don't have another enough bulletproof jacket, what my submission to you is that tomorrow, if there is an attack, okay, you cannot defend the fact that
ordinary policemen who are going in numbers may not have adequate protection, but the NSG, the Force One, and the QRT and various others, I am sure they have this protection as on today. But they should all be upgraded is a fact. I agree with you. All the bulletproof jackets should be replaced once in 5 years. Brand new ones with the best standard. Technology is changing. They should. See, unfortunately in government, we don't want to scrap anything which is purchased. We have to see their life. 5 years is the life of the bulletproof jacket. Change it.
Sir, isn't it ironical? We see the life of a bulletproof jacket, but we don't see the life of a police officer who's wearing it.
All this thing.
For which you are criticized by the same government.
Listen, I don't worry about the criticism. Listen, Sujit. People who work and positively for the betterment are the ones who are criticized. If you don't want to be criticized, don't do anything. The stone on the road, nobody is criticizing it because it doesn't do anything. I have proactively acted. So if I'm criticized, I take it as a compliment.
Sir, whole world reported that, our men were fighting with 303 rifles and lathis against AK-47 when the actual attack happened. Sir, how true is that? And didn't we have our own stand guns?
No. We had all our stand guns and AK-47s and various other things. And QRT was created by my predecessor, Mr. A.N. Roy. 53 people were there. And when I was joined CP Crime under Mr. Mendonca's supervision, we had 200 commandos created, trained by Colonel Chowdhury. All that was there. But why they were not deployed, how they were not deployed and all, has to be checked with either Pradhan Committee or by any other persons.
Sir, we are actually saying that we had resources
I will say that it has to be checked by the inquiry committee and various others.
Sir, we are saying...
I am not saying anything about that.
No, you are not saying anything about that. But all I want to conclude is we had QRT, we had equipments, we had arm and ammunition, we had infrastructure, but it was not deployed.
Maybe. Yes, it is true. But why it was not done, the concerned person has to answer.
Sir, I want to now ask you another question. Sir, I was once with you when we were doing that Abed the Mumbai campaign on the first anniversary. And I felt very proud that day when you said that, in 30 minutes, I will, if this happens again, in 30 minutes. All 8 of them or 10 of them would be dead, and I will pack them off. You remember saying this to me.
I said that, yes. Yeah.
Sir, what would you do different?
You know, I went to Israel, met the commander-in-chief, brought a trainer, and trained 1,500 men in Pune and other places to form part of the QRT. I hope they are in good shape and this thing. We have got a Force One, which I helped in grooming and developing. I spent so much money on them. There are 235 of them. And then we have a NSG, 235 of them waiting in Marol, right next to this place. And they are in full readiness. And with the vehicles and with the weapons and with the guns which we bought and the training, I bought simulators, 5 of them in 5 different regions. Simulators are there. The people are supposed to be practicing with those things because the bullets were short. So I bought simulators. So all that gaps were filled. And I was leading them. So with this kind of help, the men, when I joined, they said, we will do anything. The commandos who are existing, they said, we'll do anything. We'll barge in and take action against them. With that kind of a preparation, the guns, the vehicles, and the men, and the morale, high morale, this is possible anytime. Even in 2611, when 18 people have died, each man tells you a story of valor, courage, and conviction. There is a person called Ashok Pawar who was going home in plain clothes in VT, and one old RPF man's gun was stuck. He went behind him and told him that I will set it right, and he set it right and fired, where Ajmal or Iqbal went behind him and shot him on the head. This is a story to be told. This is a hero. And he could have just quietly slipped away. He was in plain clothes. He was nowhere concerned. So like this, there are hundreds of people who ran. For example, your Hemant Karkare went from home. And your Ashok Kamte, a great, brave, courageous son of this country, went from Chembur, leaving his jurisdiction. All of them should have been stuck to their jurisdiction. They went there to VT. They went there to rescue Sadanand Date in Kama Hospital. And that is where they met with their fate. So if this kind of a brave men of this country are there and you give them equipment, wherewithal and the support, we can pack them in 30 minutes. Even today, it's possible.
This gets me to a very interesting question, sir. Sir, there was an ACR report written by the then CP, and which actually had named a couple of officers, senior officers, like Mr. Prasad and...
Four of them. Yes.
They were demoted or...
They were downgraded in their assessment.
And you took a lot of effort to get them back and reverse that decision.
Yeah, I did. I will tell you.
Why did you think that was wrong?
There is a review process with the chief secretary to go through such kind of things when they appeal, saying that injustice has been done to me. So when I saw them, besides my personal, each one of these officers has grown in front of me. And I have helped them in their growth by mentoring and grooming them and helping them in every possible way. So all that I did was check their ACRs from the day of joining to till date. They are outstanding. All 4 of them are outstanding. After that year 2008 or 2009, again now until now, they are outstanding. How there can be a boy or an officer who is outstanding throughout and only in one, suddenly the scale dips. So it is a fact that they had done their job and they were there in Taj Hotel, I know very well. Paramveer Singh was there very much in Oberoi Hotel. Prasad was there. I was supplying him various help for Brigadier Sisodia from NSG. And Deven Bharati was there. And your DCP Zone 1, Patil, had gone there inside and all that kind of a thing. So when all these things is done, I said it is the job of the leader of the force to see that this is set right. We check the record from beginning to end. Beginning to that date, they are outstanding. In one day, outstanding officers don't go down and then again become outstanding. It's not possible. So we set it right. They are all outstanding officers even today.
This gets me to another question.
Yeah.
Sir, Mrs. Kamte, Mrs. Karkare has constantly been saying, late Mrs. Karkare, I'm sorry, has constantly been saying that they were misinformed. Yeah, I mean, they were actually given wrong information about their husband's death. How true is that, sir?
I have really no answer for that. I know them both well. I met them many times. In fact, when Mrs. Vinita Kamte had launched her book, I was there on the stage in Taj. I sympathized with them. I went to their house and I went to Mr. Karkare's place, and I know the children. We've been in touch with them later and even now. Mr. Karkare was reporting to me at the time of that unfortunate incident, and he had worked with me in that IC81 for investigation. He was in the research analysis wing. With all that, what all happened on that day was total. Maybe people were caught unawares and so many things were happening, control room, this, that, and all that. That is the subject matter of this inquiry by the Pradhan Committee and others. So, I sympathize with them. Whatever has happened to them is something which absolutely should have happened, and they have suffered untold kind of a loss, untold misery they have gone through. But the facts, figures, logs, this, that, and all, I haven't gone through all those things as Commissioner of Police, because my problem as Commissioner of Police was a repeat attack is possible, and if something again happens, again I do not want to lose a Karkare or a Kamte or those brave men.
Is there a chance that the information given to them was misinterpreted?
It is possible and it is not possible. It's a matter of checking it out scientifically. And I'm not saying what they say is true, and I'm not saying what they say is not true. I have full sympathy for them. I have been meeting them later and earlier, and I was there for the book launch of Mrs. Kamte. Yes. And my heart goes out to those all 18 of them. I have been meeting them every 26/11. I attended Salaskar's daughter's wedding also, and I am in touch with them that way. And I meet them on 26/11 without fail. Even that memorial is built by me with private funds. Yes. It is not from the government funds.
Yes.
So I want to perpetuate the memory of those brave souls, and hats off to them. And if whatever they say, if there is any truth, somebody has to go through the whole records and then do justice. I have not done that because it is not, I didn't get time. 11 and a half months, my cup was overflowing.
But
I was afraid that if there is one more attack, I shouldn't be found wanting.
Sir, would you advocate reopening books and
That is for the government to decide.
But would you be advocating
it? I wouldn't be advocating anything at all. And if the government is satisfied and if everything is satisfied, why open up a can of worms?
But Mrs. Kamte is not.
Due respect is being paid to them. Due diligence is being done to them. Maybe that is between her and the government. And may truth prevail. That's it.
Sir, throughout all this, lot of people were shunted, moved, everything. Okay, Mr. Ghaffur, who was then the CP Mumbai, was promoted to DG Housing. Vilas Rao Deshmukh, who was the CM, got center, so on and so forth. Lot of people were moved in, but each of them were promoted as part of punishment. The only person who was actually punished, and punished for the rest of his life, and was late Shri R.R. Patil. From a deputy CM, he was brought down to a home minister. I think home minister also was given to him because I remember, because I had once met him and I had spoken to him. It was given to him because he had performed phenomenally well in 2009 election as a state president of NCPS. But the only person who was punished in this entire thing was R.R. Patil. I know it is not part of your this thing, regime, but I just, as a person, sir, and as a person who was quite
close to me.
I want to ask you, is it justified? Was it justified?
You know, personally speaking, without any official kind of a connotation, I think total injustice was done to him. As the Home Minister or whatever he was at the time, whatever he did was absolutely what was expected of him. And it is a response from the force and the strategists and the energy and various others. And he, as a minister, and he liaised with the Government of India, and everything had to be done. But I don't know what went wrong with the media. They attributed some statement and this and that, and they were looking for some kind of a scapegoat and things like that. I personally feel He was absolutely devoted, loyal, and dedicated to his job. And whatever happened to him was total injustice.
Sir, was it part of a political conspiracy?
No, I don't know. I'm not an author or I'm not an expert in political conspiracies. I don't know about the political process. But as a person, as an individual whom I know well, because my growth was also part of his period. Joint CP crime was during the Shiv Sena, right. Mr. Gopinath Munde and Mr. Manohar Joshi. But later when this man, he supported me in every welfare project I did and he supported me in everything. Maybe whenever a small thing got wrong also, because when you start doing so many things, small mistakes and failures bound to happen. He stood like a solid rock and supported and helped me in doing it up. What he was fond of was the so much of welfare activity and building the police force was happening, and he was very happy about it. What happened and what was attributed to him, whether he said that or not, I don't know. But somehow he was hounded by people and injustice was done to him. He doesn't deserve to have been treated like that. That is my personal opinion.
Last question of the day, sir. Sir, you have been speaking all over the world. You are a repository of knowledge. You have been one of the most influential and one of the most effective officers in India. Sir, why are you not advising governments? Why are you not advising the central government? Why are you not advising the state government?
You know, frankly, to set the record right, I am working with the government of India. Immediately after retirement, 1 year, I worked in the Naresh Chandra committee, revamping the country's security. Did that. Then 3 years, I worked with the Reserve Bank of India as the strategic security advisor to the governor of RBI, along with Mr. Raghuram Rajan. And then later, even now, I'm working with a special task force in the NSA for smoothening MLA, mutual legal assistance treaty with certain countries and things like that. So with I'm going to National Police Academy to do the national building activity of giving lectures and training and all those kind of things. So I am fully committed and I have enough work to do. I want to tell you, advice is to be given to somebody who is asking for it. You cannot give advice to people who don't want to advise. So if someone asks you for an advice, you give it. It should be respected and valued. So now advice for this government of Maharashtra or government of India, definitely if they want, they will reach out. They know, government knows whom to reach, how to reach where. I am being used by people who want to use you wherever it is relevant. That's about it. I'm happy about it. I'm very happy about it. Yeah.
36 years of such an illustrious career. Any regrets?
Never. My only regret is I should have been all over again as ASP, start and do another 36 years of this. Police is the only service where directly you can help people. I've helped people directly. I told you, we started all this anti-organized crime control because an unknown lady in the TV said, when I pack lunch for my husband and send him from Kalyan Dombivli, I don't know whether he'll come back alive. So I saw to it, I want to tell that lady that I saw to it that every husband goes back home alive from 2002 to now. So police is the best service one can ever think of directly to help people. My only regret is I should have had maybe another 40 years of police service where I could have helped. That's about it. No regrets. What can there be a regret? Failures, part of the life. You fall down, but you get up. Then you succeed. In my case, successes are more, failures are far few.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. It's been a very, very pleasant discussion we had. Thank you so much.
Thank you.